Ron Van Dam hopes that his show will tickle your fancy. We suggest covering your fancy with both hands. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am him. It's a pleasure being with you on this fine, beautiful day. I don't know, whatever. It's Friday. Ooh, how did that happen? I guess it's because yesterday was Thursday. It always follows that. They should mix it up a bit, you know? Like after Thursday, sometimes it should be Monday, just to keep people on their toes. This is the Friday weekend edition of the program. This will last you until Monday, so good luck. That's enough. You know, every once in a while on this show, we have a group of new listeners, very similar to a tour bus that breaks down on the highway. You're stuck until someone saves you, that kind of thing. So I have to explain exactly what this show is because it's not obvious. This is a satirical, sarcastic piece of work is what it is. It's my job on this program to question everything. Not that I find disbelief in everything I do, but a lot of things make no sense, and that's why I'm here. I do make sense. Everything else, not so much. And that's what we have in common. You and I have this in common. We both walk around in a daze saying to each other, "This all makes no sense." This is our bonding procedure. So that's what I do. We do this every single weekday. I've been doing this for 30 freaking years. I know what you're saying. No, I don't know why. I know what you're saying. Again, if you're joining us for the first time, perhaps you've just turned on your radio in New Zealand. I am Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, cleverly named, I know. There are other people that make this show possible. They are not quite as significant as I, but they do make this what it is. John Shanahan is our announcer. He's a comedian, comedy writer, a comedy performer, he's fantastic, and he's John Shanahan. And also Jason Shaw does the background music, theme music for the program. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jason. And Nicole Reed assists with the program. She does organize many of our national interviews that we do on the show. We try to do an interview on every show, so I don't talk incessantly. And those are just some of the people behind the scenes where they shall remain. Ladies and gentlemen, also, it behooves you, as a Hoover, to abide by the rules and regulations of the FCC and of this program. They are as follows.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo! Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Well, it happened again. What happened again? What are you referring to? It happened again just yesterday for no reason whatsoever. I went to raise my right arm to pick something up, and my arm hurt. Now, I have somewhat of a sprained arm around my, just below my shoulder, and it hurts to move that arm. It's my right arm. I'm right-handed. That can be a problem. When I reach forward here toward the audio board, it actually hurts. And this concerned me more than anything, really, because there was no reason for this. I didn't fall down. I didn't try to extend my arm behind my head in order to grab my left ear. I did nothing stupid. Nothing banged into my arm. Nothing. Nothing. Just all of a sudden, there it is. Oops, there it is. Now, I know it'll probably go away in about a week or so as my upper arm heals from whatever the hell happened. But now it's concerning me in the sense that I don't have to do anything in order to have something happen. Yes, kids, let me explain something to you millennials. When you get a little bit older, like I apparently am getting, things happen for no reason whatsoever. No reason whatsoever. You don't have to make a mistake for things to go wrong. I know. It's annoying. I have a neighbor who lives across the street, thus making him a neighbor. That's how you define these things. Nicest guy in the world. And we're talking, and he's going through a little medical situation right now, and I wished him the best. And he looked at me and he said, Ron, because that's my name. He addressed me, even though there weren't other people in the area, it was just me and him. He said, Ron. And you know when someone is talking to you and you're the only person there and they address you, you know, and they say, Ron, you know, something really interesting is going to be said that breaks down the walls of intimacy. He says, Ron, it sucks getting older. No shit, really? And it does. And it does. There are so many benefits to getting older. People don't mess with you as much. You get discounts at Dunkin' Donuts and movie theaters. Hey, you know, you get a dollar off. Big freaking deal. But still, it's something. This is supposed to make you feel better. I'm getting older, I can't move, but I'm getting a discount on donuts. Oh, okay, good. That's really worth it then, isn't it? Yeah. It sucks to get old. It just really does. And I know a lot of 40-year-olds who are saying the same thing right now. 40 and you say it sucks getting older? Hold on, bozo. It gets a little bit worse than that. Yeah. I didn't want to talk about this, but hey, how about that planet, huh? And I'm not talking about Planet Fitness. The planet, for some reason, is starting to fall apart, very similar to my upper arm. Only there is a reason, because human beings have this propensity to ruin a good thing. They don't make it better. They don't embrace it. They screw it up. And that's what society has done. Now, I am one man among a large society of humans. There's nothing I can do much other than complain about it. But how about, you know, Hurricane Ida hits Louisiana. To this day, I mean, they're in trouble, man. I mean, they've got no power. It's awful. This storm moves up through the country to the New England East Coast area. It's not a hurricane anymore. It's not even a tropical storm. Yet it dumps up to 4 inches of rain an hour in parts of New Jersey, New York, etc., and is almost more devastating than a hurricane. Everything's flooded, damage to property. It doesn't have to be a hurricane anymore. It's very what's the word? Annoying. Terrible. I was watching the news this morning on CNN. And they were talking about Louisiana, how the residents are just, they don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do. They're just, it's unlivable. And they said that FEMA, that's the government's answer to saving your ass, FEMA actually said what the people of Louisiana have to do if they were affected by the hurricane, and almost all of them were. They're going to help you go online to apply for FEMA aid. Now, on the surface, that sounds, oh, that's good. Good. We can go online and apply for FEMA aid and get some financial help here that we need desperately. Only, who's got online in the middle of a flooding hurricane? Go online and apply for FEMA aid? FEMA will help you go online to apply for aid? Who's got any online going on? They have no power. I mean, I when I heard that, and the CNN announcer didn't even say anything. I mean, if I were an announcer on CNN, I'd say, and the FEMA has will help you go online to apply for financial aid. If I were the announcer, I'd say, what? What kind of bullshit is this? Go on, what? Online what? There is no online. We're offline, baby. Found that to be quite fascinating. And those are the things that make no sense. Those are the things that I talk about on this program. Thanks for stopping by. Did you bring a gift? Usually when people stop by somewhere, they bring a gift, like a box of candy or a bottle of wine. I said that yesterday. Still nothing shows up. No, I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know. Yesterday, oh, by the way, speaking of Planet, I went into a Planet Fitness yesterday. And that planet is weird, too. Everything in there is purple. You know why I go to Planet Fitness? Why I walk into Planet Fitness? I don't do anything beyond that. I'm scared of gym memberships because you can never get out of them at all, even though they say no commitment. No, there's no commitment. Yeah, there is. They have purple pens. When I was a child, I think I was like 14 years old, something like that. I was obsessed with pens that had purple ink in them. I thought they were so incredible. How do they do this? How do you get purple ink? This is incredible. So if you walk into some Planet Fitnesses, they actually, fitnesses, that's the plural of Planet Fitness, Planet Fitnesses, you they have a little cup on the desk there, and when no one's looking, you can take like a lot of their pens because they don't care. And they write in purple ink. Wow. I know. I realize that. I know what you're saying. Ron, could you be more trivial? You're talking about hurricanes and you get excited about purple ink. this is something's wrong somewhere. I know. I realize that. Don't worry. I realize that completely. Maybe if I had worked out in a gym, my upper shoulder wouldn't hurt. Upper shoulder, upper arm, my upper shoulder. What hurts? My upper shoulder. What are you talking about? What? Geographically, that makes no sense. Well, we do have to do a commercial because I got to tell you, someone's got to pay for this, and it's apparently not you. So we do have sponsors.
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you've thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective, and will take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
Yesterday, I was talking about, or was it the day before? I have no idea. I was talking about how kids don't have jobs anymore. Children don't have jobs. When I was younger, when it snowed, I used to grab my father's snow shovel and I would shovel other people's driveways and I would be an entrepreneur. I'd be a snow shovel service and nobody ever turned me down. I would sell lemonade in front of my house. Embarrassing, weird, but people will buy things from you because you're cute. I found that to be the case. If you're also extremely attractive, people will have sex with you. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's not the product, it's the marketing. And it's who's selling it. It's absolutely true. So I was talking about that and that I actually had a paper route. Every weekday I would get papers from the Bergen Evening Record, I believe it was the name of the paper in Teaneck, New Jersey. And I would deliver papers to about 22 to 26 houses. And that was my job after school. It really built character. My character was being built at that age. And I would deliver papers on my bicycle. And they'd have to be folded first and properly placed in my bicycle basket. And I would take the papers and I would fling them, in some cases, to the front door of a house. Or I would actually get off my bike and place it in when certain instructions required me to do that. And it was a fun job to do. It was great exercise. I'd be riding my bike every afternoon. I had my own little business. Because at the end of the week on a Friday, I would have to get off my bicycle, walk up to the doors, ring the doorbell, and say to the person in the house, "Hi, I'm collecting for the paper." And they would pay me. And I would keep a certain amount of money and give a certain amount of money to the newspaper company. And it was great. They didn't have to pay me. I just kept a certain percentage of the money, and it was really, really cool. I liked it. I liked it a lot, and my paper route grew as I was being very successful and very responsible. Wrong word. But then, after a few weeks, trouble set in, because when I went to collect for the paper, more than half of my customers either would not be home, I think they were cowering behind the door so they didn't have to pay me, or if they did answer the door, they would say, "Well, I just don't have the change right now. Can you come back next week and I'll pay you then?" And what's a kid supposed to do? Grab them by the shirt collar and say, "Listen, you little bastard, I deliver papers every single day. Don't give me this kind of lip that you don't have the money, because I know you do, because it's not a lot of money. You own this house, don't you? Well, you got money to pay me for the paper. You don't seem to understand. I have to pay the newspaper this money, and if I don't have the money, it comes out of my pocket. So you listen to me and you listen to me tight. If you want to live for another 3 days, you're going to pay me right now. Do you understand me, or do you want to have your cat boiled in oil?" But at 12 years old, you don't do that kind of stuff. You don't say those kinds of things. So there came a point after a few months where it started not to work out, where these people were not paying me for the paper, and thus I had to pay the papers to the paper company because it was my own business. It was a real business kind of setup. I was given product. I would distribute it, and I'd have to pay for it to the newspaper company. It was my own business. And I would make money in tips. Everybody would tip me. Not. So that didn't work out. And after a few months, that had ended. That business had failed for me, the delivery of the papers. But it was fun while it lasted, my friends. I think later on, about a year later, I did it again and it was a little more successful because I carried out my threats. But that's what happened. I'm a little forlorn that kids today don't have jobs. I believe that by the time you're 12 or 13 years old, you should be working full-time in some type of a manufacturing company. That's what they do. That's what they do overseas. They do in the Far East, apparently. They have sweatshops where they take little children and they make them sweat. And they, after school, they're making sweaters and things like that. And I think that's a great way to build your... No, never mind. Never mind. Just never mind, okay? Never mind. What do you do when a child in a store starts acting irresponsible by yelling and screaming? I saw this poor mother. She had a child with her in the supermarket, and they were walking down the aisle, and the child was, I don't know how old the child was, maybe 4 or 5 or something like that. And the child was just having a fit, just screaming and screaming at the top of this. I think it was a boy. I'm not sure, because when they're really small like that, I can't tell the difference. Because girls and boys dress the same now. It's kind of a unisex kind of thing. I couldn't tell. I can only tell by the hair, but when a girl wears her hair short, I don't know what they are. They're too young to have developed breasts, so I don't know. I can't turn them over to tell whether they're male or female. I don't know which one this was. But the little child was just really out of control, and I thought, oh, this poor mother, man. This poor, unfortunate victim of a mother. This child was Beelzebub. It was a devil reincarnate. This child was just out of control and just screaming and having a fit. And I really felt like walking over to the child and to the mother. And I felt like taking the child and taking it outside and putting it somewhere where the child wouldn't create so much trouble. Like on a bicycle to deliver papers. This is what happens when your child doesn't sell lemonade, shovel snow, or deliver papers. They just act entitled. It's wrong. It's wrong and it's stupid. I don't know. I think nursery school teachers and babysitters are the heroes of society. That they have to put up with these young children that don't know any better. It's an awful job. It's just an awful job. Taking care of young children or working in a nuclear power plant facility, both admirable jobs, both equally as dangerous. This this is September already. Did you know that we're into September? This is September 3rd. We have Labor Day weekend here. This is the holiday where you, by law, must eat a hot dog at some point. That's what Labor Day does. 3 holidays that involve hot dogs. Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day. You must have a hot dog. If not, it is punishable by death. Which also happens when you eat the hot dog. Yeah, it's the last holiday of any type of heat involved. starts getting cooler. I love the fall because it gets cool. The only thing I don't love about the fall and autumn, as they call it, autumn, is the leaves come off the trees. The trees are so pretty with the leaves. And when the leaves come off, it just gets all over the place. It's so messy. It really does. It's, the leaves just get all over the place. You go to shower in November and you're finding leaves up your butt. It's just leaves are all over. It's like glitter. It's everywhere. I got a guy who comes to my house in November, like the second week of November, and cleans the leaves out of my gutters, because I can't get in on a ladder anymore. I never wanted to get on a ladder. I'm not a ladder person. Ladders don't make sense to me. They are staircases that are very dangerous. There's no railings involved on a ladder. You're taking your little foot and you're putting it on a rung. They call it a rung. I don't even know what that is. Ladders are extremely dangerous. Do you know more people die of falling off ladders than they do drowning in toilets? It's absolutely true. And that's a scary figure as well. I don't go up ladders. Maybe if I have a small step ladder, I might change a light bulb. I might. But even then, No. I don't like heights. I don't think we belong in the air at all. I really don't. Being in an airplane is probably one thing. You're encased inside a vehicle. Yes, you're in the air, but you are encased. When you're going up a ladder, it's just you and the ladder and certain death. So I hire a guy. I don't know why women don't do this, but I hire a guy to go up a ladder. He gets onto my roof and he walks around on my roof. Now, I don't have a flat roof. I have a very slanted roof. This guy's walking around like some kind of monkey or something. It's like, how do you do that? No fear of heights whatsoever. No possibility of incredible injury. I don't know how they do this. But no. That's a job I will pay for. I will pay for that. Getting on a ladder, cleaning my gutters, and then the leaves are slippery. They're not, it's not like they're easy to get. I mean, they're just slippery, and it's, when Halloween comes at the end of October, which is usually when it shows up, the little kids are walking around in costumes. They put masks on their face. Well, besides the one that they're wearing because of the pandemic, but also other masks as well. And they're walking around, and I have to say to the kids, be careful on the steps, be careful on the steps, be careful on the steps. Because they're not careful on the steps. They can't see where the hell they're going. But on the other hand, if a child falls down on the steps, I have house insurance. They'll take care of it. These are things, you know, the only good thing about being a kid is when you fall down, you can get up again. That's about it. There's no other benefit to being a kid. None whatsoever. You think you get what you want? No, you don't. You really don't. It looks like you do. You feel like you are, but you're really not. Your only benefit in being a kid is that you can get up again. That's when you're older and you fall down, you're down for the count. It's all over. It's. I don't care if you're collecting candy on Halloween or what. When you're older and you fall down, something is going to happen to you. Unless you're me, where you don't have to fall down, and your upper arm just hurts for absolutely no reason whatsoever. All right, I've talked long enough. My welcome has run out. There's no question about that. And it's time for you to go about your business and do something with your life. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. I know it's Labor Day, but, you know, that's my job, man. It's my job. It's what I do. It's what I do. Look, if I'm not going to climb ladders, I might as well do this. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.